Today's sermon idea actually came from a campaign in America a few years ago called Live Like You Were Dying. Have Pastor Yap or Peter heard about it? Yep. Okay, it was developed by a group of pastors and experts, including Lance Witt and Gary Smalley. So I won't take the credit for the sermon. The aim of the campaign is to help believers to live this God-given life to the fullest. So, talk about only a few days to Jesus' crucifixion. Have you ever wondered what if, like Jesus, you know you only have 5 days left in your life? What would you be doing in this 5 days? Would you go to work as usual, doing overtime? Or would you find that one person or 5 people you hate so much that you would do anything to take your revenge during this last 5 days? No. I bet you would do acts of kindness and love to those who you care about, right? So let's see what different people choose to do with Jesus' days numbered, and then we think about what we would do with our own life. Oh, I need to use the pointer, I forgot. How do I use it? It's not. Okay, it's on. Yay. Okay. So in this passage, we know it is just 6 days before Passover, and hence the crucifixion. Now, Passover is a time to remember how God delivered Israel from the bondage of Egypt. And each year, the extended family of each Jewish family would come together to commemorate and celebrate God's deliverance. And Jesus knew very well what was ahead of him, and he was fully aware of the suffering he would go through. He knew his arrest was just around the corner, and he wanted to spend these final days with people whom he loved. So on this particular day, Jesus was in Bethany, which is just about 3 kilometers southeast of Jerusalem, which is about the distance from here to Prince Edward MTR station. Yeah, you can imagine, we can walk there, okay. So we can see Jesus and his disciples being invited to a dinner party. And we know from Mark chapter 14, verse 3, Simon was the host. Man named Simon. And there at the party also was Martha. And once again we find Martha being a busybody, serving everyone. There that night also was Lazarus. In chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, he was dead and was buried in a tomb not long ago. Maybe just a few days earlier, we don't know. But now he is having dinner with Jesus and many others. And we know Lazarus had been a great witness for Jesus, because in verse 9 it says, when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus. So can you imagine the conversation around the table that night? So, Lazarus, how have you been? Well, not much. I died last Tuesday, laid around in the tomb for 4 days, and then Jesus came and raised me from the dead over the weekend. Well, can you pass me the kimchi and the bread, please? Incredible, right? And also that night, there was Mary. She always seems to be doing something out of the customs of those days. I mean, out of ordinary. In Luke 10, we know that Jesus visited Martha and Mary previously. And Mary was very different than her sister. It didn't bother him to let the dirty dishes pile up. She was more focused on being with Jesus rather than scurrying around serving everyone. She was a very good and attentive listener, just like those attentive students I see in my Sunday school class. So in this particular evening, she did something quite unexpected and totally out of ordinary. She opened up a very expensive perfume or a bottle of oil called nard. Well, Mary took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard. Well, pure nard is a kind of plant which is found in India, the Himalayas of Nepal and China, and the name for it is spike nard. And actually, in this Bible translation, it says ointment, but it's you can imagine it's hard to pour some ointment on somebody's head. It's going to stick inside the bottle. So actually, the Greek word for it is mouron, and it actually can be translated perfume, ointment, and oil. So it's more something like essential oil. So you can pour it out. And I've got a little bottle here of pure nard. You can pass around and open up and try to smell it and see what you think about the smell. Around. Some people like the smell, some people don't. I don't. Well, it's fragrant oil that actually came from the roots of a herb called spike nard. And usually this oil came sealed in an alabaster container like that one there in the picture. It was imported into the land of Israel, probably from India. And in those days, we have to know, there was no airplanes, no, I won't name the company anyway, but you know the plane crashes. No airplanes, nor the railways. So we can imagine it's going to be exquisite, rare, and very pricey. In fact, from the mouth of Judas, in verse 5, we know it's worth how much? 300 denarii. Yeah, it's about 1 year's worth of labor. So what is it going to be? 1 year of wages equivalent to today's Hong Kong dollar. Average is about $240,000 for that one bottle. That's crazy. And well, don't worry, it didn't cost me that much, because nowadays it's much cheaper. So picture the scene in the custom of those days. The men were sitting around the table. They were laughing and enjoying great conversation. Martha and the other women were serving the food and the wine. Then suddenly came Mary. She came in with this alabaster container. She broke the seal, opened the bottle, and then did something that is absolutely over the top. She slowly sneaked to Jesus' back, took the bottle and broke it and began to pour onto Jesus' head, the whole bottle. Can you imagine? The Bible says it's how much of it was there? A pound of expensive ointment. So it's about the size of a soft drink can. From the other gospel accounts, we know she poured it over Jesus' head. And here in the Gospel of John, we are told that she anointed Jesus' feet. So we can imagine the oil ran from Jesus' head down to the body and to his feet. And I actually did some research on the usage of pure nard. Did anyone like the smell? It's okay for you? You didn't like it?
Tolerable.
Okay, you won't call. Well, when I ordered this bottle of pure nard, I thought I was tricked. Because it smells so, I was expecting something like flowery, sweet, like the Chanel perfume. But it was not. It smelled like more, people say it's like a medicine. Yeah, indeed. It actually has a history of being used in aromatherapy and as medicinal oil. It is used, well, I consulted a friend who is a professional essential oil therapist. And it is used as an herbal medicine to treat sleeping disorder, depression, stress, anxiety, fatigue, nervous problems, digestive problems, infections, and provide pain relief. It is said to calm anxiety and heal emotional and psychological trauma and pain. It's calming, soothing, and mood elevating qualities. Well, it says here, were used to help Jesus prepare himself spiritually for his upcoming ordeal on the cross and his subsequent death and resurrection. So knowing the medical value of the oil, it's possible that Mary was preparing for Jesus' crucifixion. As we know, 300 denarii, okay, 1 year of wages. As we know, Jesus had been teaching his disciples that he was about to be killed, but the Gospel of Mark told us that they did not understand. The disciples did not understand what the saying means. They thought Jesus meant something else, and they were afraid to ask him. But Mary took it as face value. Now we can see Mary, she was a woman of faith, and she took into her heart what Jesus said, and she knew Jesus was about to be killed. She wanted to do whatever she could to help relieve Jesus' anxiety and coming pain. So she offered up her most precious flask of pure nard. And then in the passage we see Mary committed a social taboo. She let down her hair. This wasn't accepted in the ancient culture. A woman was to loosen her hair only in the presence of her husband. And what's more, she started wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair. So can you imagine this emotion of this scene? Mary unexpectedly comes to Jesus with this awkward, unrestrained action. Some people said what Mary did in pouring out the flask of oil on Jesus and losing her hair was actually a custom in marriage in those days. But I never really found any sort of support for that. Have Pastor got any evidence for that? No? So anyway, what Mary did was awkward for the occasion with so many people around, and Jesus was not her husband, okay? She was daring. If you really try to place yourself there that night, this is actually quite an uncomfortable scene. I'm sure I would be embarrassed if I was sitting there that night. But here's the attractive part and that overshadows the social awkwardness. It was an act of great faith and understanding expressed lavishly in humility. And she didn't care who was there or what they thought. With only a few days to the crucifixion, she was desperate to express her love and worship for Jesus. In a way, she gave what we all want. Sometimes we like being surprised by gestures of love, right? How many of you got a surprise birthday party before? Well, not many. I did, and it's quite pleasant. Pleasantly surprised. Well, maybe some don't like surprises. But anyway, most of us have felt the urge to do something lavish and over the top for someone we love. But more times than not, we push the urge back down, choose to play safe, and we get on with our daily routine, and we miss the opportunity to watch people light up because we didn't take the risk to love. I remember about 5 years ago, it was Father's Day in June, and Father's Day reminded me that I should make a phone call to my father who is living in Sydney. But then I thought, okay, actually Father's Day in Australia is in a different month. It's in September, it's not in June. So I would seem stupid to make that phone call and greet him because it's not Father's Day in Australia. So I didn't make the call. And anyway, because I just called him maybe a week or so ago. But after maybe 2 or 3 weeks, my father passed away suddenly. That was a regret. Well, not a big regret, but a small regret. I missed the opportunity. Well, I should have made a call and greet him, express my love for him. But I missed that opportunity. I don't get the chance anymore. So, I just wonder how many times this past week we missed the opportunity to surprise someone with love. We live in a world that is driven to achieve. We are obsessed with efficiency and productivity. This is a hard-driving, bottom-line lifestyle, which often mitigates against spontaneous acts of love. I'm going to be honest with you. Too often I'm the professional Christian who passes by somebody who needs to be loved. I have too many important things on my schedule to be spontaneous with my love. And we rationalize because there's no margin in our lives for something so impulsive. And with each time we push back the urge, our hearts shrink and shrivel just a little more. Not until there's little time left in their lives or our own, maybe due to illness or accident, then suddenly we realize we have missed so many opportunities to express our love. So how about it? Who can you surprise with your love this coming week, this Holy Week? Who can you ambush with grace and kindness? Go for it this week. Don't wait and wait and wait, and then suddenly realize there's no time left. There's overtime in work, but there's no overtime in life. When you feel the prompting, say yes. You are never off track when you're expressing love to people. So the first action step is to do the daring. And the second action step in this story is do it with all costs. Let's go back to the scene that night at the dinner party. You see in the room that night there was not only Jesus, Mary, Simon, and Martha. There were other invited guests. And the Bible tells us their reaction in verses 4 to 6. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas did not applaud her spontaneous gesture of love. He saw it as wasteful, inappropriate, and careless. And he said so. We notice the description. This flask of pure nard was worth a small fortune. There's something about the price tag of a gift and say something about our love. Now I know we say you can't put a price on love, but guys, hey Peter, and those of you who are married, next anniversary, try giving your wife a $99 fake diamond ring. And then write on the gift tag, remember, it's the thought that counts. I can imagine what would happen. There has been a show on television a few years ago in America that has been a phenomenon. It had no sex, no violence, no political corruption. And yet it has been widely popular. It's called Extreme Makeover. How many of you have seen this show? Yeah, you like it? Well, this is a show where they identify an extremely needy family whose home is usually in very, very bad shape. And then the design team, along with hundreds of workers, they converge on the house, and in 1 week's time, they do an extreme makeover. And part of the success of this show is not what they do, but how they do it. They don't just come in and make a few patches, repairs, and slap on a new coat of paint and then call it a day. Sometimes they tear down the whole house and put in its place a brand new, spacious, beautifully designed and decorated house. See the before and after? It's my dream home there. Can't even think about it in Hong Kong. Well, part of what makes this show fun to watch is that what they do is over the top, is lavish. They spare no expenses. They do things for these families that could never even dream of doing for themselves. This is extreme. And this is what makes the show so popular. When we go to the New Testament, we often see this kind of over-the-top action of love. We find Christians and other people doing things with all costs. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan didn't just take the half-dead Jewish guy to an inn and left him there. He actually cared for this person for the whole night. And he left 2 denarii. For the innkeeper when he went on with his journey. And he promised to pay the innkeeper and the outstanding balance for the Jewish guy. This is action of love with a cause. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth about the example of believers in Macedonia. These were financially poor people, while they go through many difficult problems at the same time. And at that time, Paul was collecting an offering to take to Jerusalem for the saints there. And listen to Paul's description of their love. For they gave, which meaning the Macedonia believers, they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, begging. They have to beg Paul to give the offering to the saints in Jerusalem. Talk about extreme Christianity. They beg to give. despite their financial difficulties. When was the last time we saw this in church? However, without question, the supreme example of extreme love was demonstrated on the cross. It was the most costly gesture of love in the history of man. Romans chapter 5, it says, "For while we were still weak," well, we can read together, I see you are drowsy. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, loving and giving are tied together. Being generous demonstrates love. So who can you bless this week with an over-the-top expression of love? I want to challenge you this coming week to do something costly, something sacrificial for someone you love. Let me ask you, what is the 21st century equivalent of the bottle of pure nard? What precious, valuable thing do you have that you can lavish on your loved one as an expression of your love? Not everyone will applaud, some won't understand, and some maybe will accuse you of being wasteful. So what? Go for it in the name of Jesus. Let's break open your flask of pure nard this week. So from this story, we learn that when we ambush someone with love, we do the daring and we do the costly. And there's one more action point. Do it now. Back to the scene. I'm sure you could have heard a pin drop. Can you imagine how Mary must have been feeling at this point? She was motivated by love, and she thought she was doing a good thing, and now she is being blamed. But before these detractors can say anything more, Jesus rushed to defend this woman. Jesus replied in verses 7 and 8, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." It's a command, leave her alone. It's the only command in this passage. I don't know what Pastor Yap would do with this command. Hey, leave everybody alone.
Don't disturb her.
Don't disturb her or him. Well, there's the heart behind this command. Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could, and she has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. Mark 14:6, Jesus actually said, "She has done a beautiful thing." Jesus is not minimizing the need to care for the poor. He is simply saying that this woman has done a good thing in seizing this moment to show her love. She would not have the opportunity again. Last weekend, I was in a marriage enhancement retreat for 3 days and two nights. And in the last day, we have this exercise called the last 3 days. And we ask each couples to think about what would you do if this is the last 3 days in your life. And all of them included in their reply, they said they would spend time with their loved one. and maybe go to a have a big meal, a hold a banquet, which they would never do in ordinary times because it's so expensive. Well, but who knows? We would have the time. So we need to seize the opportunity. And notice what Jesus said in the following, in the verse. He said, "She has done what she could." You can't ask for any more. She did what she could with what she had. She saw the opportunity to express her love and she grabbed it. And now her story lives on thousands of years later. Because in, we see in the bulletin, if you look at the bulletin, in Matthew 26, Jesus actually says, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." That's why I'm preaching this message today, because we owe Jesus, owe her this commemoration. Brothers and sisters, we really don't know if we will be here a week from now. We have today. We have right now. We have this moment. Well, we can't do everything. We can't meet every need. We can't bless every person, but we can do what we can. So make use of the five love languages. You know what they are. Have you heard of it? It's words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, quality time, and physical touch. Well, limit the physical touch to your spouse or your children or your parents. Actually, in Chinese culture, we lack physical touch and words of affirmation. How many times do you hear someone who is Chinese and say to his or her parents, "I love you, mom. I love you, dad. I love you, son"? Not often. It's radical for some of us to say these affectionate words. And there are people all around us that are affection starved. Some of these people may be sitting with you and around you here today. We all have learned to hide our pain, and we would never ask for it. But we long to hear people say, "I love you." I hope before the end of the day, you will grab your spouse, your children, a good friend, and look them in the eye and say, "I just want you to know today that I love you like Jesus loved you." Words of love and affirmation and blessing ought to flow more freely in the church today than any other group of people in this city. So don't wait. Do it after this service. Do it now. A few months ago, the local newspapers reported a 1.5-year-old boy whose parents happened to be members of our East Kowloon church site. This boy was diagnosed with a tumor called neuroblastoma, where the tumor grows in the nerve tissue. And his chance for survival was only 20-50%, even with the best and expensive treatment. The newspapers urged the society to donate money to help that boy. The response from different parties in the society was encouraging, and the $2 million Hong Kong dollars needed for treatment was raised in a short period of time. But sadly, while the boy was going through treatment, the tumor spread too quickly and he lost the fight and died in his father's arm on April 1st. The boy was described to be a joyful little angel, bringing joy to his parents and those around him. His father said he was always encouraged by the boy's joyful smile, despite difficult and painful conditions, and he wished everyone to live on with a grateful heart. Well, during his short span of life, this little boy clearly received expressions of love from his parents and from many other people. That's why he could exhibit such pure joy. Last November, despite the chance of seeing the boy's survival being slim at the time, I collected an offering in my fellowship for the boy and wrote a card to the parents. So we sent the family the card with the money to encourage them, and we extended our love for this family. The Judas in me did say something like, "Why bother? Shouldn't you be giving the money to some other more needy people or use it for more productive means? Give the money to the missionaries or help other children with higher hope of survival." Well, I'm glad I didn't listen to that voice, and I gave brothers and sisters in my fellowship an opportunity to express their love at the moment. So, we just never know how many more opportunities we have, so do it now. Brothers and sisters, this Bible account, we just encountered three different types of people. Mary, who is daring enough to go outside the boundaries to express her love for someone in a costly way when there's the opportunity. Jesus, he was humble enough to be on the receiving end and showed appreciation for someone's expression of love. And Judas, who is calculated, he talks logically and practical. Who would you want to be? For some of you this week, God may call you to a radical expression of generosity like Mary. Maybe it's doing something for a widow or a friend, someone who lost a job, or a single mom who needs help with caring for her children. Or just to take a student in your school to a dinner. Maybe the student is an outcast, feeling lonely, or maybe just the words of love, say "I love you" to your parents. Maybe it's blessing someone on the mission field or an unexpected opportunity that God may bring across your path this week. As a reminder, I'm not encouraging you to go and break every rule and create a chaos, but I'm encouraging you to be brave enough to show forth your love for someone whom you care about, and do not hide your love. Look for opportunities this Holy Week. Maybe for others, God may bring someone to provide you with what you lack, or to encourage you in some way, or just to express his or her love and care for you with a gift. You have to be humble enough to accept this act of kindness, this act of love. In the Chinese culture, we so often we are too proud or too embarrassed to receive something. We always say, oh, no, it's okay, we don't need that. Oh, it's okay. I will pay you back. I will pay you back. Well, that's not good. Remember the saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. By refusing someone's act of kindness on us, we are essentially taking away their opportunity to be blessed. So just accept it with a grateful heart and appreciation, just like Jesus. Or would you choose to be Judas, who is practical and calculated? Brothers and sisters, I know too often we have to make calculation very carefully because we are limited in our resources, and we have to be practical. And the modern culture encourages us to be efficient and leaves no room for waste. We tend to just meet the need. Anything over the top is wasteful, and we like to play it safe. And we tend to not attempt anything out of the norm. I once heard a story about a pastoral search committee. A church was looking for a senior pastor and an administrative executive. And they found two candidates with the necessary qualities. First, for the position of administrative executive, well, the first candidate by the name Mary has a tendency to do things outside the boundaries. She has no respect for established custom and rules. She is also lazy and leaves others to do all the work. She just sits there. Her sister Martha, on the other hand, is very practical, follow the rules, and very hardworking. So we will hire Martha as our church administrative executive. And for the position of senior pastor, the first candidate tends to offend church members with his preaching, especially Bible scholars like Pastor Yap. He is also too controversial. He even offended the search committee with his pointed questions. So we won't hire this candidate by the name Jesus. The second candidate seemed to be very practical, cooperative, good with money, cares for the poor, and dressed well. We all agree that this candidate's name, Judas, is just the man we are looking for to fill this vacancy as our senior pastor. Well, we know it's a joke, but it's very, too often it's very true in the way we think. So can you imagine what could happen if just the people gathered in this auditorium today take this seriously? What if our primary objective this week isn't our paycheck or our to-do list or getting a new gadget, but this week we live to love and to be loved? What if this week we break open the flask containing our pure nard, our pure love? So, brothers and sisters, what would you choose? To leave a legacy like Mary in the hearts of those we love? Or to be on the receiving end, to make someone's love, being expression of love, being satisfied and be blessed? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you have given the greatest gift of love. You have broken your flask of pure nard. You have broken your body and poured out your blood on us. each one of us, so that our sins may be forgiven. Lord, put in our heart this week someone whom you want us to show our expression of love, and help us to put that thought into action, so that we may bless someone with the blessings we receive from you, and we may be blessed because we know we have done a good thing, a beautiful thing in your sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.